Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should raise him from the dead. The question I want to ask you today is the word enough? Is the word enough? There's a parable that Jesus tells. He tells so many parables. He loves to tell stories. He tells the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. In this parable, it is the only parable where someone is named in the parable. Lazarus. The name Lazarus means one whom God helps. One whom God helps. This Lazarus is not the Lazarus that some of you might be thinking of, who was friends with Jesus, brother to Mary and Martha. We're not talking about that Lazarus. This Lazarus was a very poor man. And you hear about him in the story, kind of goes like this. You got the rich man. Dude's wearing purple linen. It's fine linen. He is rocking that. He's always feasting. He's having a festival every day. He eats sumptuously. He eats in splendor. Just think about Christmas. How you ate on those Christmas gatherings. You feasted. He was doing that every single day. He had everything he needed, this rich man. But at his gate was a poor man by the name Lazarus. He was so poor, he would come to that gate. He'd be at that gate every day, the gate of the rich man. And he would just be seated at the gate, so hungry, so poor, and hoping, desiring that the rich man's food would fall off his table and he would get some of that. But he never got any of that. He was in such a difficult space that as he would sit at the gate, dogs would come and lick the sores on his body. He had sores on his body. You guys love the word so much, you're all looking for it. Just listen to the story. We're going to get there. That's where you know Pneuma South is all about the word. They're like, the word is enough. Where is it? My wife was telling me before, where are we? What verse? I know what I'm doing. It's all good. I prepared, guys. I know I haven't given you the verse yet, but this is good. So you see, the rich man and Lazarus, they were so different. They were so different. But then the inexorable thing, the inevitable thing that is common to all of us happened to both of them. What happened? They both die. What happens to Lazarus? Angels come and take him to Abraham's side. He goes to heaven. What happens to the rich man? He gets buried and he wakes up in torment. It says he was in Hades. He was in hell. He is around in the fire. He is in so much pain and anguish. And he looks over to a far distance and he sees Father Abraham. He sees Abraham the patriarch. But he recognizes Lazarus. And he goes, yo, Father Abraham! You had many sons. You had many sons and I'm one of them. Father Abraham. He goes, right hand, left hand, right foot, left foot, chin up, turn around. Abraham said, sit down. It's too late. It's too late. Just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you can come to heaven. He says, there's a chasm between you and Lazarus. There's a separation, it's too late. He said, Father Abraham, could you get Lazarus? Abraham's like, you know his name? You acted like you didn't know his name. You saw him poor every single day. You walked past him, you didn't feed him. Now you're saying Lazarus. He goes, get Lazarus. Could you just bring him over here, send him here to dip his finger into some cool water and chuck that thing in my mouth because I need me some relief? Father Abraham's like, that's not happening. He says, Father Abraham, well, could you at least send Lazarus? Can you see how he still sees Lazarus as a servant, as someone beneath him? He's still trying to send him around. He says, can you send Lazarus to my brothers? Oh, you got brothers? Now he's thinking of his brothers. He's got five brothers. He says, can you send him to Lazarus? Not to Lazarus. Can you send Lazarus to my five brothers so he can tell them so that they don't have to be where I am? Father Abraham says, no. Your brothers have Moses and they have the prophets. He says, no, Father Abraham. If you send Lazarus, they will believe because he would have risen from the dead. And like I said right at the start today, Abraham says to him, your brothers, they have Moses. They have the prophets. They had that. If they don't hear that, they're not going to be convinced by someone rising from the dead. That baffles me. Because I'm thinking, man, if I see some big miracle, I'm going to believe more, or someone that doesn't believe is going to believe. But Abraham said, no, if you're not going to hear Moses and the prophets, neither will you be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Hey, the passage this morning comes from Luke 16. Let's go to verse 19 to 31, the moment you've been waiting for. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And he was buried. Where am I? Yep, 23. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Verse 24. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner had bad things, but now he's comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest also they come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no. No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Wouldn't you guys love to see miracles 24/7? Wouldn't it be great to see miracles? Are we chasing miracles? Are we chasing miracles? Are we chasing signs and wonders? We all want to see miracles. Jesus said there would be miracles. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord, and He's able to work wonders around us, in us, and through us. But my question to you today is the word enough? We find it in verse 29. And verse 31, where Abraham says, they did not hear Moses and the prophets. If they did not hear Moses and the prophets, then they would not be convinced by someone rising from the dead. What am I talking about, Moses and the prophets? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. So when you hear they have Moses, they had the law, they had the word through Moses, they had the prophets, the minor prophets, the prophets, they had all that scripture in different form, in scrolls. You know, they probably didn't have it as easy as we have it today, but they were taught to memorize it. They heard it all the time. The rich man would have known what the word said. Lazarus would have known what the word said. And I wondered to myself, how come the rich man ended up in hell when Lazarus ended up in heaven? Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man just didn't have the word in his life as an anchor. Lazarus saw his need for God. And he believed in God and he prayed, Lord, provide. I'll go and sit at that gate until I get something. Is the word enough? What are some miracles in your life that have happened? Miracles that keep you coming back to God. What are some miracles that have happened that just keep you grounded? They keep you loving the Lord. They keep you coming back to God. Can you think of any miracles that have done that? That keep you coming back to God? You know, I think in my own life, I had an injury on my wrist where I couldn't actually bend my wrist without pain. I had to do exercises for months. I was praying for healing. I wasn't seeing it coming. Prayer line after prayer line, people praying for me, going to the doctors. But then God came through and he healed my wrist. I think of the financial miracles that have taken place in my life. Too many to even mention them. I think about my wife and I, how the Lord has shown us favor in opening doors into ministry, full-time local church ministry. For us, those have been miracles. And in our process, seeing the Lord help us buy an investment property when it was so hard and there was so much competition, but the Lord set us apart. So many miracles. But I want to tell you today, there's no miracle in my life that really keeps me coming back to God. Because I easily forget. We easily forget the miracles because we're human. We even forget the biggest miracle of all time. Jesus coming onto the earth. We forget about what he did on the cross. We forget about his resurrection. That's why he instructed us to have communion. As Steph did brilliantly today and led us through communion to remember the forgiveness that is available through the cross. See, these miracles and any other miracles when it comes to the miracles we experience and will experience, none of them will ever be enough because we forget. The most important miracle that grounds us is Jesus. What more miracle do we need? I'm not here today saying, let's not ask for miracles. Let's not believe in miracles. But we can easily chase after miracles so much that we don't even go to the Word. We just want miracles. We just want His presence, like this tangible, which does happen. But we can get so caught up just wanting His tangible presence just because it makes us feel good. But it doesn't actually bring any change to our lives. You can experience God's presence, but if you're not then actually going to transform and see change, we're just wasting time. But it's actually the Word, Moses and the prophets, Jesus, the ultimate. Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of the law. He came and he fulfilled what Moses was talking about. He came and fulfilled what the prophets were prophesying about. Is the word enough? See, Jesus tells us, Matthew 4, verse 4, and it comes from the law. It comes from Moses, from God through Moses, from Deuteronomy. But he says to the enemy in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. This is what we're to rely on. This is what is going to sustain you. This is what is going to keep bringing us back to God. If we don't have the word in us, if we're not grounded in the word, we will not have a strong foundation. We need his word. The word is what God is faithful to. He's faithful to us, but in being faithful to us, he's being faithful to his word. He's being faithful to what he has said. He is faithful to his word. Like I said, the rich man, he had everything, but without the word, he had nothing. Lazarus had nothing. Sometimes you can think, what do I have? What do I have going for me? But Lazarus had nothing, but he had God. He had the word. He listened to the scriptures. He acted by the scriptures. And guess what? He had everything. You can have money. You can have relationships. You can have marriage, you can have kids, you can have a partner, you can have great friends. But if you do not have the word, you've got nothing. How can I say that so boldly, that if you don't have the word, you have nothing? It's because Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. So we're pretty much saying, is Jesus enough? But we can't just look only to the person of Jesus and just see just this distant thing, distant person. But actually remember, he's so real. That John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John 1 verse 1. Jesus is the Word. The Word is available. It's available and it's unlimited. The Word is available and it's unlimited. Is the Word enough? Is it enough for you? What are you trying to fill yourself up with? What are you trying to, you know, get to know? Become more knowledgeable about. Because actually the word, that's the one of my points today, is that it is available and it's unlimited. Imagine if you knew something was available. You know what it's like, oh, she's available. That got your attention, right? But I'm not talking about that available. The word is there. It's available. And there's no limit to it. Man, the Bible is so rich. It's so deep. You can go do Bible school and you can come out of Bible school and you're still like, whoa, I just can't get my head around this. Not that you're not getting your head around it, but that there's so much more. You will never know enough. But the Lord will just use the little bit that you know at any moment, because he speaks through his word. He is the word. So it's available. If it's available and if it's unlimited, why is it that we struggle as Christians to love the word, to delight in the word? Why do we see it as a duty sometimes? The enemy doesn't want you in the word because it's a weapon. He tried to use the word against Jesus after 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus knew the word because he is the word. And he spit the word back at the enemy. And after three times, the enemy had to flee. It is a weapon. It's available. You see, the rich man had Moses and the prophets at his disposal. It was available. Deuteronomy 15. If you want to flip in the word, go back to Deuteronomy 15, 7 to 8. Or just write it down and I'll read it. This is what the rich man had at his disposal. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, 7 to 8, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. The rich man knew that, had heard that. Maybe he heard it but didn't listen. But he didn't do that. You know, Jesus in verse 17 of chapter 16 of Luke, where there's many other parables all around this part of Luke, Jesus says in verse 17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. That's how powerful God's word is. In Matthew 24, 35, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is what grounds us. His word. Is his word enough for you? How will you engage in 2025 with his word? Spilling water everywhere. How will you engage with the word? You know, for most of us today, this is just a reminder. We know this stuff. But what are we doing about it? Are we being intentional? We actually limit ourselves and we limit God in how he wants to use us, in how he wants to use you in blessing others, in demonstrating his love to others by not being in the word. So how will you in 2025 intentionally engage with God's word? For me, soap, S-O-A-P, who used soap this morning? Only one person, awesome. But you know, SOAP is an acronym that really helps me get into the word. It's used for journaling, what you read in the Bible. I just get a one page in my journal. S stands for scripture. So you read a portion of scripture, whatever stands out for you, feel like God is speaking to me, you write the whole scripture down. You just don't write the reference. You write it out. And then O is observation. What is actually happening here in the story? Then you write your little observation. This is not what you're reading from a commentary or from a life application study Bible. This is what you feel the Lord is speaking to you from what you're reading, but also from what's been happening around in that context of the word. And then A is application. How am I going to apply this in my life? You write out your application. And then P is prayer. You pray. You pray the Bible. You pray about what you've just read. It's just one page. I used to do men's ministry, lead men's ministry, and blokes would struggle to even write three sentences. But when you start putting some effort and you keep going for it, you start getting it done. But it just helps actually get the word into you. That's just one way. Because what I find as a pastor is when I come to have quiet time and get into the word, I'm just like, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I need a word. I need a word. And then I start studying and I start looking at commentaries and I'm going through all different rabbit holes and I come out and I haven't really got anything. And I'm like, I've spent time with the Lord. But God challenged me and said in my heart, just soap. Go back to soaping. It's not that basic. Because I thought, oh, that's just basic. It's like, so now when I get up in the morning, the first thing I'll do is I'm like, I'm not going to get really into anything else in the word until I've done a soap. I'll read from somewhere in the word, then I'll soap, then I'll wrestle with that word. Once I've done that, I'm like, thank you, Lord. That wasn't for a preach. That wasn't for so-and-so. That was just for me. See, that's one way I engage with the word. How are you going to engage with the word this year? How are you going to be intentional with the word? Are you going to do a Bible reading plan? The YouVersion app, the Holy Bible, there's many plans you can do from that. Maybe you're going to buy a life application study Bible to just do a bit more study. What time are you going to wake up? What time are you going to go to sleep? At what point Speak to the Lord about this. Some of you already made these decisions at the start of the year. But I just pray that this year we will engage with the Word like never before. Are you going to meditate on the Word? Sometimes we just read, oh, you're done. Tick, tick, tick. You do a plan, the Bible in 1 year. Then you try to race through it. But nothing is going in because you just want to make sure it's done. Forget the 1 year thing. Just read through the Bible as slow as you need to make sure you're getting something out of it. David says in Psalms, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, something like that. But this is the part I love. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. It says he's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season. And it says his leaf will not wither, whatever he does prospers. This is the power of the Word. How will you engage? Will you meditate? Meditating is pretty much going, I'm going to read through this. I'm just going to chew on it. I'm just going to sit on it. Not just read it and forget about it. Take a screenshot of what you read in the morning. Look at it at your lunch break. Look at it when you're going to sleep. Just get it into you. Get the Word into you, somebody. Memorizing the Bible. Growing up, we used to memorize the Bible. You'll notice it sometimes just spitting out the Word because it's in me. I was taught what David says in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your Word in my heart. I have stored it up in my heart so that I may not sin against you. That's why I say the Word is a weapon. Just memorize a verse. You find a verse that you love, write it down, start to memorize. Don't tell me you don't have a good memory. That's just an excuse. I know some people have better memories than others. But just memorize it. If it's going to take you years, just put it in you. How did Jesus know to say those things? Because it was in him. And it bears so much fruit. It'll just come out of you at the right time. It'll come back to mind at the right time. Maybe you're going to memorize a verse, one verse every month, one a week, whatever it is. With my running, true story, I was at a point where I was running 54Ks. Like I was trying to go for 60 and I was doing 40, 60, whatever. I only got up to 54. But I'll take my phone with me to keep me going. I've got a list of about 50 verses that I've been memorizing for a while. So I'll just look at that and then I'll just be memorizing it. People are like, what's this runner doing? He's a bit crazy talking to himself. But there's so many ways that we can engage with the Word. How will you do that this year? See, if you can't hear the Word, if you're not in the Word, you won't actually see the true impact that signs and wonders make. There won't be much impact. God's presence, you experience it, but if you're not in the Word, that's just a short-term, temporary thing. That's not going to bring any lasting change in your life. We want to see people transformed by the Word. I need transformation. I need sanctification. I need it. Do you want more of God? Do you want more of His Word? There's no miracle that can be of greater importance than God's voice. And this is His voice, the Word. It is voiced, expressed in written form. He's the one that makes the miracle happen. But how does it do it? By His voice, by His Word. The Word is available. The Word is unlimited. But you know the signs? They always follow the Word. I'm not here saying let's not be about miracles, but I'm saying we need to know where it starts. We need to know what the source is. Because I tell you what, in the Pentecostal church, we can go to the other extreme where we're just chasing signs and wonders, chasing miracles, just chasing gatherings where we're experiencing his presence, but actually we don't have any substance in us. This is what sustains us. The word is powerful. It's available. It's unlimited. It's so powerful. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 talks about all scripture is God breathed. All scripture is breathed out by God. Every verse in here is breathed out by God. It's inspired by God. It's God breathed. And it says it's useful for correction. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for reproof. It's useful for training in godliness, in righteousness. And it says it's useful for all these things so that you and I can be complete, lacking nothing. The word. Is it enough? Is the word enough? My sister, my brother, are you dependent on the word? Do you actually depend on it? Do you actually need it? Do you hunger for it? Is the word enough? The word is available and it's unlimited. The other thing I want to share with you this morning is that everything we do is to flow out of the word. We're doers, aren't we? We do things. We're not just beings. We're beings that do things. Imagine if everything that you did came out of the word. It had a filter off the word. It was inspired by the word. Yes, none of us are perfect. We will mess up. But how are you going to realize that you're messing up if you don't have the word? Yes, God's put his word on our hearts. But we actually need to get the word into us. God in his word tells us what he desires. That's why it's good to be in the word. Oh, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Oh, what's God's will for my life? He's given us a whole book. Even now as I'm speaking from the word of God, God's speaking through his word so different to every one of us. It's not like, oh, the book, how can that be specific to my life? It will be so specific to your life. By the Holy Spirit, God will speak. So he tells us what he desires. And what he desires is faith. He desires faith. The word tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that it is impossible to please God without faith. It says that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Those who believe that he exists. Those who seek him. He's pleased by faith. But where does faith come from? Hearing the word. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It sounds simple, doesn't it? God desires faith. Oh, where do I get my faith from? Go to the word. I hear it. My faith grows. It's true. And it is simple. But so many obstacles come in the way. Because we're flesh. We're human. But God will always supply what we need. All we need to do is to say yes and actually get into his word, actually hear him. Even the way we pray, how we pray is to come out of the word. It's not just about praying just what you want, your desires. Nothing wrong with praying for those things. But you've actually got to pray the Bible. So know what he wants, know what he says, and then pray those things. Oh, but I don't know enough of the word to pray the Bible. Just pray the things that you see, the things that God is showing you by his Holy Spirit. Is the word enough? When's the last time God's word changed you? Just think about that. When's the last time you actually read something in the Bible by yourself, not from the preacher up the front, but you were reading something in the Bible and it challenged you so much. Or it was like a massive wow, Lord. And then you actually did something about it and you've seen the fruit of that in your life. When's the last time that happened? See, the word is available. It's unlimited. God has that for us all the time. so that it influences how we speak. It influences how we love others, how we treat others, how we treat ourselves, how we speak about others. Everything we do is to flow out of the word. I don't have direction. I don't know what to do. Psalm 119, 105, what does that say? Thy word is a lamp to my feet. And that's it. I don't even have to say it. You guys are all over it. Maybe I should stop now. We're almost there. More. But seriously, when's the last time the word challenged you? Like if I said, hey, Sally, what's the freshest revelation you had recently? What's that thing God's really spoken to you? Encourage me, challenge me. I'll be honest, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm not Sally, but I'll be like, you know, like, but just imagine that. If someone says, hey, mate, what's the latest thing God's really spoken to you about? Would you be able to answer that? So you can answer that if you're in the Word, if you're open to God, if you're spending less time in Netflix and more time in the Word of the Lord. See, some of the biggest miracles that can take place in our lives is being transformed by the Word. When you actually see that your life, or you see someone's gone from struggling with this to overcoming it because they heard from the Lord through the Word and they put that into action, that's a miracle. That's transformation, that's sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, Jesus, the Word, tells us what He desires for us to do. He talks about the greatest commandment in the gospel. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You know, usually I just go, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. No, it's not that. It actually says, love the Lord your God with all of your soul, with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. All I just did was put in with all of your. Like, don't shortcut it. Because that's what it says. But that just shows how much we're supposed to love Him. But He tells us what we're to do. And He tells us that we're actually to love our neighbors as ourselves. Like, it's all in the Word. We don't need to be lost. We don't need to only just seek for the power and the miracles, but actually be in the Word and then see everything else flow out of that. We can pursue the miracles. We can pursue His presence. But what are we actually doing for the poor? Do we walk past the poor like the rich man? Do we just say, oh, Lord, bless them? Or do we actually stop, help them, encourage them, feed them, bring the word to them? Or we just say, oh, Lord, work a miracle. Hey, oh, here, we have a prayer gathering here. You should just come to the prayer meeting. They don't need that. They don't need the prayer meeting. Your neighbor who's not doing well doesn't need the prayer meeting. They need you because you've got the word in you. They don't need your pastor. Oh, I'll take you to my pastor to pray for you. They need the God that is in you. My wife's like, yeah, we don't have time for that. Now, as in, the Lord wants to use them too. Oh, that's it. We're in sync. See, the rich man had the poor Lazarus in his reach, in his proximity. Who do you have in your reach? Who is around you? That needs to be helped practically. But it's not just the practical stuff. You bring them the word as the Lord leads you. You pray for them as the Lord leads you. Everything we do is to flow out of the word. Are you full of the word? Or are you full of the world? Are you full of the word or are you full of the world? Or are you full of yourself? What are you full of? My last point today is that the word and the Spirit work hand in hand. The Word and the Spirit work hand in hand. See, there's some churches and some people that, oh, Holy Spirit, oh, we're just about the Holy Spirit. But they don't know what's in the Word. They don't get into the Word. They're just about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is powerful, but you got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. See, the Holy Spirit right at the beginning was hovering around the earth. It was formless. It was void. And then God spoke the Word. And then the world was created. The earth was created. The Holy Spirit and the Word work hand in hand. Does the Word come out of you? What comes out of you? You've actually got to get the Word into you. You've got to get it into you first, because that's what actually feeds the Spirit. See, when you become a Christian, when you say yes to Jesus, your spirit is awakened. The Holy Spirit comes in, becomes resident, but you've got to feed it with the Word. The main way we hear from God is through the Word. That's how we grow. So you've got to feed the Spirit with the Word. That's how repentance happens. How do you think you're going to be repentant of anything wrong that you're doing? How does someone who doesn't know God become repentant? They actually have to hear the Word first. Yeah. And the Spirit is there, is around them, is available. But as they hear the Word, the Spirit convicts. So you need both. You can't just be all about the Spirit without the Word. And you can't just be all about the Word without the Spirit. You need both. The Word and the Spirit work hand in hand. Like, think about it. Where does discernment come from? Discernment. Discerning is knowing what is right or wrong. Something's going on here. This is not of God. This is not right. Where does that come from? If you're just saying, oh, I just rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm so in tune. I'm so intuitive. Oh, I've got a gift. Oh, it's just a gut thing, man. It's just a gut thing. How are you going to know your gut thing is all good? You got to have a plumb line. You got to have the Word in you. See, the Holy Spirit will bring that Word back to mind to give you discernment. So you can't just be a discerner without the Word. God's so good. He gives us the weapons. He gives us the gift. And He gives them the gift as He wills. So the Word and the Spirit work hand in hand. If the band could come up, that would be awesome. The music, Tim, I'm just speaking in faith about the band. See, the Word gives the Spirit something to work with. And therefore, signs and wonders will be worked out of you amongst us. But signs and wonders can't be the focus. If you make that the focus, you're going to be very disappointed. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, He uses miracles. He uses signs and wonders to bring people to Him, to bring us closer to Him. He uses them for His glory, and God wants to do that. But how is He going to do that if we're not going to be faithful to His Word, faithful to Him? See, we can easily start to put our faith in miracles instead of putting our faith in the God of miracles, in the Word of the miracle worker. So is the Word enough for you? If the Word is enough, then what else are you looking for? If the Word is enough, what else are you looking for? What else are you chasing? What else are you pursuing? What else are you depending on? Who else are you depending on? Because the Word is enough. Everything is to flow out of that. This is not about missing out on anything. This is about our foundation. This is about what anchors us. The Word is to be our anchor. The Word is actually God's heart. You know, if you've got a partner, you want to know their heart. Well, God's heart is available. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be intimate with you. But the only way is to look into His heart, study His heart, and it's available. Don't just read the Word. We can all read the Word. We can read a book. Don't just read it. Meditate on it. Yeah. memorize it. Don't put pressure on yourself. Just take time, get a space, and get into His Word. And when you do that, no doubt there'll be sometimes you feel bored, but you've just got to get some guidance from others, get some resource, talk to your leaders, talk to your pastors. And sometimes you get in the Word and you've got to wrestle with stuff. Like, I've had to wrestle with the Scripture. Like, what do you mean He had Moses and the prophets? Like, just send Lazarus. That's going to be powerful. It's not just going to change the brothers. It's going to change the neighborhood. But Abraham still says, no, that's not enough. They've got the Word. That will be enough. So I really challenge you, Pneuma South, whether you're a visitor, whether you're new, whether you've been coming here for a while, let's be people that live out the Word. Imagine a church where everyone reads their Bible. Seriously. Some people only read the Bible when they come to church. And that's not to condemn you or them. That's to invite you that there is treasure. If there's anything for 2025 for you and I to get into, it's not the big investments, it's not the big business opportunities, it's the Word. And then everything else will flow out of that. That will be your anchor, that will be your director. Let's be a church that reads the Word. Imagine a church where everyone actually brings their Bible. Like, seriously, it sounds silly, doesn't it, sometimes? But it speaks volume to the Lord. It speaks volume to the people around you. My Bible is so big, I could have brought a smaller Bible. But I love this Bible. I challenge you to buy a Bible or to get your Bible off the shelf or not keep it in the... Bring it to church. If I went to... I've never been to a church where everyone's got a Bible. You could say, oh, they look like a cult. Are you serious? That's the lie of the enemy. People need to know that what distinguishes us from anyone else is the Bible. Do you know what the best-selling book is in the world? The Bible. Do you have a Bible? Get a Bible. Read a Bible. Live the Bible. Love it. Eat it. Sleep with it. Put it under your pillow. There's been more than 5 billion copies of the Bible that have been sold. If you don't have one, you got to get one. What am I going on about the Bible in a church? Because the church has lost the Bible. You see, if everyone, a new Christian or someone who's nice, comes in and sees everyone with the Bible, what do you think they're going to do next week? They're going to bring a Bible. So, man, I encourage you, go to Koorong if you have to, go to Amazon if you have to, go to a bookshop. Some bookshops still sell Bibles. It's crazy and I love it. The Word is enough. It is enough. We've got to give the Spirit something to work with. Let 2025 be a year where we all grow in understanding of the Word.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.